This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Yesterday we got the verdict. Were you surprised, Christina, that it came down yesterday?
Yes, I was. I thought maybe today would be the day or Thursday. But it came down fast, so I thought I had an idea of what the verdict was going to be.
Yeah.
And so I ended up being right in this case.
So you thought when it was fast, that meant guilty?
Guilty, yeah.
I wasn't too surprised about all this. What's interesting for me is that I was in my car when it came down. So I was listening to KMJ, and I heard the verdict. And then I got home, and I had recorded TV because I also wanted to watch it, you know,
right,
to see how it was presented on TV. And when you watch it, at least on what I watched, they had a split screen, judge on one, Derek Chauvin on the other. And he had his mask on, and it was kind of hard to see. You know, you need the whole face for all the emotion, that body language that you'd like to see, right? The mask covered a lot of that. All you could really see was his eyes.
Yes, and so his eyes were doing what?
They were kind of darting around, and you couldn't really see what they were darting around at because it was just looking at him. You couldn't see anything else, and I couldn't really get the emotion reaction. Maybe there was no reaction. I don't know. Did he expect this, do you think?
Well, they're speculating that he expected it because he had his attorney's phone number written on his hand.
Yeah, so he wouldn't need that unless... I mean, he certainly couldn't have thought with 100% certainty he was going to get off. He couldn't have thought that. He had to know there was a chance he was going to be convicted. And then I didn't know after that what the judge was going to do with him, right? And then the prosecution made a motion that bail be denied and he be remanded to custody, which is what happened. So he's in jail.
Right.
Until sentencing, which won't be for 8 weeks. And we can get to that as well. But, the thing to me is we all saw the video. We asked on the first day of this trial when the prosecution played the video, did they really need to do anything else? They did certainly do a lot more. But was that enough?
Was that enough?
Yeah, because, I mean, the video, we've all seen the video. Maybe there's some people out there that still haven't seen it. I don't know how that happens. I've seen it multiple times.
I wish that I hadn't seen it. You know, I just don't, that's not my jam. That's not my thing, is to watch these videos of people being killed, you know.
Oh, I know.
Or dying, or, you know, officer-involved shootings. That's just not my thing. If I could have avoided watching that video for this long, I would have been an okay person.
Oh yeah,
in that world.
Yeah,
but when you see that video, you sit there and you have to wonder, how could somebody sit on somebody for 9.5 minutes? They're not moving. They don't even take any weight off to see if the person's going to move. They don't give them even an opportunity to rebound or, you know, comply after that. And, you know, that's what's, I think it's an upsetting video to watch. There's no doubt about it. Whether you think Derek Chauvin is guilty or not, it's a difficult video to watch for 9.5 minutes.
Absolutely. You know, there were 2 days in the past year that stand out to me when it comes to news and things that were very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
That day that happened, and then the January 6th, call it what you want, riot, insurrection at the Capitol, right?
Right.
Those days were just terrible days. And when I first saw this video of Derek Chauvin, my first thought was, how can it be that a police officer, we know that police officers are aware of what's going on in this country. Many of them are quitting, retiring. They're having trouble recruiting people. We always ask, who would want to be a cop? So you've got to be aware of what's going on in this country. And you've got to be aware, when you're doing this, you are becoming a poster for what many people think is the image they have of America, which is white people with their knee on the neck of black people. You know, this is symbolic of the country.
For so many reasons.
Yeah, for some people out there, that's what they think America is. And so here you are, and there are bystanders with cell phones doing video. Do you not realize that this is going to go viral. And the longer you stay on there, that it's going to go more viral. And after 6 minutes, when one of the other officers takes the pulse and can't find one, you still don't get off. Does it never occur to you, this is going to be pretty bad for not only you, but the whole country? Do you not realize that people are going to riot over things like this? I just couldn't believe that he was that tone deaf to what's going on in this country, let alone just being a human and treating somebody like a human, right?
It's, you know, once again, your knee is on him. You have him down. He's saying, I can't breathe. Then he stops moving. Somebody takes his pulse, says, I can't find a pulse. Do you think we should give him medical attention? And yet, through the course of all of that, as you said, to not say to yourself, maybe I should just lift my knee up a little bit and see what happens. Right? Isn't that the goal here? What I would have liked to have asked Derek Chauvin had he taken the stand was, is why did you keep your knee on him for that long? What was going through your mind of when he became compliant, I guess, when he stopped moving and resisting with your knee on him, which unfortunately was then death. However, when he became non-combative anymore, why didn't you lift your knee to see what happened and then begin any kind of medical treatment necessary or whatever? Or if he were, so sit him up. One officer said, can we move him onto his side? Should we move him onto his side? No. What was going through your head in all of that? Why were you seemingly doubling down on this?
And that, of course, is why he needed to testify. I guess in the rearview mirror, he may now realize that he needed to testify, but that's the question people had. How could you keep doing this? Why did you keep doing it? There's only one guy that can answer that question.
Yeah.
You know, the prosecution put up their case. There was no answer for that question. As far as the prosecution was concerned, you should have gotten off. You needed to get up there and explain, okay, I was distracted by people or whatever. Come up with something, but if you don't testify, we're stuck with the prosecution narrative.
I think this is just my speculation, John. I have no proof to this. I think that Derek Chauvin is not a likable guy. I don't think he's probably a very nice guy. If you remember, him and his wife were going through stuff. After all this, she left him. I mean, this guy sounds like a jerk to me to begin with. I can understand his attorney saying, if I put you up there and the jury sees you, you might make it worse for yourself, and I get that. I also, though, believe that if you don't testify on your behalf, you are more than likely to be convicted because then you are an inanimate figure to the jury. You have no human component to you. You're just a person that sits in that chair that I see every day when I come in and I listen to this terrible stuff about you, and you then have nothing to redeem yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, now, because he's a jerk, does that mean he deserved to be found guilty? No, I think that our court system allows you the process of a trial. You're innocent until proven guilty. I believe in that. I will always believe in that. And just because you're a jerk doesn't mean you should be found guilty. But I do think the reason he didn't testify is probably because the guy's a jerk.
Well, it's as good a guess as any because, you know, there's a lot of debate about whether he should testify. I think looking back now, it's easy to say you should have testified, you know, because it couldn't have got any worse than this. Guilty on all charges. What was kind of interesting is there's a lot of people out there that were demanding a certain kind of justice. You know, they wanted a guilty verdict.
Uh-huh.
And they demanded a guilty verdict.
Or else.
And we had a lot of what I would consider strange reactions yesterday to the verdict, which was the verdict they wanted. You know, we have people like AOC, who was one of those people who demanded justice, certain kind of verdict. But she did not seem to be happy.
No, not at all. In fact, she wanted more like resurrection, not justice.
Are we going to hear from her?
Well, you know, give me a second here, John, and let's see if this works.
Here we go.
No.
Maybe not. No, we're not.
No, of course it can't. It can never work around here.
Well, let me help us out here. She said, this verdict is not justice. Now, how do you say that when you are rooting for this verdict? How do you
come out saying? Great question.
She says, frankly, I don't even think we call it full accountability because there are multiple officers that were there. It wasn't just Chauvin. And I also don't want this moment to be framed as this system working because it's not working. And that's what creates a lot of complexity in this moment. Justice is George Floyd going home tonight to be with his family. Justice is Adam Toledo getting tucked in by his mom tonight. I mean, how do you have a justice system that works exactly like you wanted it to work and then say to yourself, this is not justice? I just don't understand that. We have some other comments here as well. We also have the comments of the president, which are also mystifying.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Buzz question today at KMJNow.com. A jury has found Derek Chauvin guilty of three charges in connection with the death of George Floyd. In your opinion, was justice served? Let us know. The Buzz question sponsored by the Boz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Center. That is what we are talking about today. As you mentioned, John, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, wanted a guilty verdict, and yet she says justice is not served in this case.
This verdict is not justice. Frankly, I don't even think we call it full accountability because there are multiple officers that were there. It wasn't just Derek Chauvin. And I also don't want this moment to be framed as this system working, because it's not working. It's not justice, because justice is George Floyd going home tonight to be with his family. Justice is Adam Toledo getting tucked in by his mom tonight. Justice is when you're pulled over, there not being a gun that's part of that interaction because you have a headlight out. Justice is your school system not having or being part of a school-to-prison pipeline. Justice is a municipality and a government that does not, because it trickles down, right? That does not value military and armaments more than it values healthcare and education and housing.
She's on the, you know, outside the Capitol there, and she's walking around. She did this via like an Instagram live or a Facebook live type of thing. And so, like the first 3 minutes of this, you missed out, John. I had to watch all of it to get this bit.
Yeah.
And you're so lucky, because like the first 3 minutes is her asking everybody on this live feed whether or not the wind was too much and they could hear her.
Yeah. I would have said, yes, the wind is too much. But it must be tough to have to contort yourself into all of these theories about justice just to prove to yourself that this isn't justice. You know, going to court, having a trial is not justice. All these other things are justice. You know, I mean, what do you want? You demanded a guilty verdict. You got it on all three. And then you come out and say, that's not good enough, which is kind of a theme for a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that, we got a guilty verdict, but, you know, it's really not a big deal here.
Not good enough. Yeah.
Let's take some calls here. 490-5858. Reno, you're on KMJ.
Hey, guys. You know, I just want to impress on all of KMJ's listeners, I am not a Black Lives Matter guy. I couldn't agree less with that movement. I think it's a great saying, but it's a horrible civil rights organization. It's not a civil rights organization. That said, I couldn't agree more with the verdicts yesterday. I think justice was served, and the people that are saying that it wasn't, they just want to, you know, it's all political. They just want to keep using this issue to further their own political agenda. They're not interested in justice. They don't even know what the word truly means. If they did, they'd be begging for mercy.
So is that what AOC was doing? Politics?
Yes. She's on to the next phase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is healthcare, education. Basically, they just want to remake society in their own image.
Well, it's like they call it social justice. It's all these other things. That's justice. You know, we have to have a totally just society based on their definition of what that is. And until we have that, there is no justice. So this little thing that happened in a courtroom somewhere doesn't really matter when it comes to the entire picture of social justice. But the problem here is, you know, like we have our poll today, our buzz question, do you think justice was served? Now, Reno, you say, yes, it was. 57% of our audience say no. And I just wonder why that is. Do you have any theories on that, Reno?
Well, I honestly don't know what more they want. The guy's probably going to spend the rest of his life in prison. If all three of these charges, you know, are set to serve, you know, consecutively, if they're not, he's still going to be in there for a good long time. I guess basically, you know, maybe if they just would have dragged him out, you know, to the same spot where George Floyd died and executed him on the spot, you know, that would have made them happier. But AOC still would have gone on TV tonight and said, this is just the start.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because, mm-hmm.
But let's guess why 57% of our audience say justice was not served. Because, you know, we talk about all these extraneous circumstances. Should we believe that the jury was not aware of what this verdict would mean for their own personal lives? Should we think that they were totally unaware of that? Do you think they knew if they came back with not guilty, their lives would be ruined forever? Do you think their lives would have been ruined forever?
I think it would be like winning the lottery. You'd need to go into hiding because people will find you.
Yeah, if you were one person that held out for a hung jury, do you think that they would find you? So I'm just guessing why people think that justice might not be served. All the pressure was to convict here. We know that jury had to know. When you drive into that courthouse that's got a fence around it and razor wire, when you know there are protesters out there demanding the right verdict,
sure.
When you know there are riots in the neighboring community because there was another shooting, when you know Maxine Waters came and demanded justice, and if there wasn't going to be any justice, we need to get more confrontational. Do you think that confrontation might have ended up at your house like it did in the officer's house in Brooklyn Center, where her address was given and people showed up at her house? They had to put a fence around her house.
Sure.
We didn't even know where she is. So do we think that jurors didn't know that? That doesn't mean it's not the right verdict. But when you say it was justice served, it was justice with a lot of pressure. So is it possible that this is kind of tainted? It's got a little asterisk by it.
Sure. And that Derek Chauvin, obviously, when he was arrested yesterday, the reason his attorney's number was written on his hand was why? Because that's the next step, right? You have the sentencing phase taking place in, what is it, 6 weeks? And the appeal begins today. And this is all of it that goes into that, right? And they will try to get a retrial. And they'll try to get a retrial somewhere else. But that doesn't mean that it won't follow them. That doesn't mean, you know, Joe Biden, in one of his comments that we're going to play coming up here, talks about how this has been a year. I thought to myself, that's fast. That could be a part of their appeal, John. Typically, a murder trial is 2 and 3 years out. The fact that this took place in less than a year from the time of death could be a part of that. It's fresh on people's minds.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Talking about the aftermath of the Derek Chauvin trial and verdict that came down yesterday afternoon. It was about 2 o'clock. I was in my car listening to it on KMJ, and then I came home and watched it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see how Derek Chauvin was reacting. Basically, couldn't tell much of a reaction because he had his mask on. But I was just thinking about the jury, Christina.
Okay.
And our buzz question about, you know, was justice served here? And 57% of our respondents say no. And I was trying to think, now, why would you think that? Because it seemed to me that the video was pretty convincing evidence that he should have been convicted. But it's all this extracurricular stuff around the trial that's the problem, I think, with people's view of justice being served. I just think of myself, if I'm on that jury, trial's over, I'm going back to the jury room, we're going to deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that somewhere in my mind, I know some consequences of what we do here? And if I somehow come out with a not guilty, my life is going to be ruined and my city's going to burn down. Is that, I'm trying not to let that be a factor.
Sure.
And maybe it's not even a factor. Maybe I just think he's guilty and maybe that's it. But if that's in there and you know what's in there, does that possibly kind of taint this verdict and make people have a little doubt about whether justice was served because you know that that's on their mind somewhere?
Well, here's the thing. I think that that is up to Derek Chauvin's attorneys now to prove. Is it reasonable to assume that there was apprehension, doubt on the minds of the jurors of what would happen should they come up with something else? I've been looking for the jury instructions. I have finally found the jury instructions. I mean, just looking at count one, which is murder in the second degree, it says, under Minnesota law, a person causing the death of another person without intent to cause the death of any person while committing or attempting to commit a felony offense is guilty of the crime of murder in the second degree. And the elements of committing a felony are the death of George Floyd must be proven. Okay. The defendant caused the death of George Floyd. And the defendant at the time of causing the death of George Floyd was committing or attempting to commit a felony offense of assault in the third degree. And so you prove any one of these things, I guess, and that then adds the felony charge onto it. You know, I know the defense tried to provide their witnesses. This jury did not weigh those witnesses as significant as the prosecution's witness. Therefore, I can see how they came to guilty on count one.
No, I can't too. You know, I'm saying I don't want to come across like I think that they came up with this verdict because of the pressure. I'm just saying it was there. Okay. Maybe it was just easy to do the right thing. Maybe that was the right thing. It was easy to do. My point is this. When you go into that jury room, nobody has to say a word about any of this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to even bring it up. Everybody knows. There's one verdict that solves all problems, and that's guilty. And there's a verdict that creates all kinds of havoc and hell everywhere, and that's not guilty. Nobody has to say it. Nobody has to speak it. We all know it. Now, does that have anything to do with the verdict? Maybe not. You know, like I say, there's plenty of evidence to convict George Floyd. That's what I'm saying. You go in there and you go, you know, I can convict him. I'm not going to have, nobody's going to argue with me about conviction of guilty. But my life is going to be destroyed if I come up with some reason not to do that. So I'm not. Why should I even try? I'm just bringing up that possibility. I think personally he was guilty. But, you know, I know that if I was in that jury room, that thought would cross my mind. And maybe it doesn't have anything to do with my final verdict here, but it's there, right?
Sure.
And you wonder if it was the other way, if the pressure was the other way, could it have caused a different verdict if you knew your life was going to be hell if you went the other way? But there wasn't going to be any hell going the other way. 490-5858. Robert, you're on KMJ.
Okay. I'm an attorney. You guys, like most of the public, almost all of the public and almost all of the media, aren't being subtle enough. He's guilty of unintentional reckless murder, similar in stature to someone who's like 0.20, really, really drunk and then driving and killing someone unintentionally. That's what he's guilty of. So he's not guilty of intentional. So in California, under the D Party of California, and I say D Party because they've turned totally totalitarian, so I can't really use the whole name, people get 0 to 3 years in prison for for something like that. So, okay, 3 years in prison, you know, would be reasonable. And I'm talking about after, you know, good behavior, assuming they have a reasonable behavior in prison.
So you're talking about when it comes to sentencing.
Yeah, the mob's not going to be happy with anything. Now we're liable to have, now that you've given in to the mob, the problem with giving in to the mob is now you have to give in to the mob every single time or you're going to have the riots. If we don't have life in prison, they're liable to be big riots. The next case, you have the three other officers who were standing around and didn't stop him. If they don't get at least 20 years, the Tea Party activists and the Tea Party elected officials like Maxine Waters and AOC and evidently Nancy Pelosi, since she doesn't think anyone has anything to apologize for, are gonna give the signal to riot if the other three officers don't get 20 years in prison. And then we have about what, 9 or 10 other cases that had arose last summer that were high profile.
Hey, Robert, let me
give in to the mob.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Stop doing what's actually legal. It's like it's over for society.
I know, but we don't know that anybody gave in to the mob. That's the thing I'm bringing up. I think the mob put as much pressure. I saw a Black Lives Matter person on TV last night saying the reason we got the conviction was the violence. Now, is that true? Yep. You know, that's what we're kind of arguing about here, right? Is that what got them the verdict? He said, you know, when we were peaceful, we didn't get these verdicts. Now we're violent, and you know we're going to be violent if we don't get justice. Well, justice is his definition of justice, and if he didn't get it, he was going to be violent. So we've all heard that.
You know what? If I owned a home in Minneapolis, I probably would have given in to the rest of the jury, even though what I said what I just said, and I believe what I just said, I would have given in to the rest of the jury because I don't want my home firebombed.
Well, just think if you are a juror who has some doubts and you do sympathize with the defense of Chauvin and you're thinking about voting that way and you go into that jury room, can you be strong? You know, like you've seen the movie 12 Angry Men, right? You know, where there's the one holdout, the brave guy. Of course, in the movie, he's on the right side, right?
In the movie, there also wasn't a mob outside the courtroom.
Yeah.
It was sort of a lower-profile case. There's not a mob outside the courtroom in the movie.
But here's my question for you, Robert. Are we to believe that the judge isn't thinking about this, too? If he doesn't sentence appropriately, his life is going to be destroyed. Do we not believe that?
Well, and that's his point, is that now that you've given in, you have to keep giving in.
But the judge hasn't given in at all. He's just been a judge. But he knows okay, well, let's not get into that right now. Let's just say he basically has presided over this. The jury has done their job. Did they feel pressure? I think so. Did that matter? I don't know. Do we think that the judge doesn't feel this pressure? What do you think?
To some extent. However, judges will have 24-hour security for the next 3 years, paid for by the county.
Okay, but I mean, do you want to live like that?
But insulated because they don't have to pay for it.
But he's got a choice. He can give maximum sentence. It'd be just like the jury. Nobody's going to fault me for giving maximum sentence. They're only going to fault me if I don't. So what am I going to do? Do I want maximum security for 3 years and live my life in hell? Or do I just want to give the maximum sentence?
It's possible. It's completely possible he might give in to the mob even though he knows better.
And he might even convince himself he's not giving in to the mob. He might just say, this guy's a bad guy. He deserves the maximum. And just convince himself that that's the answer. Don't you think?
Something he said right before they sent the jury out was kind of disturbing. When the defense was arguing that Maxine Waters' incendiary comments should have a mistrial, and he basically said, "You have a good point there. I'm not going to go declare mistrial, but you have a really good point there."
Yeah.
Which tells me that signals to me in a high profile being in court in a lower profile case. That signals to me he might have very well. He was saying in between the lines, if this was a low-profile case, I would grant a mistrial and start over. But in this case, no way in hell. If the Minnesota Supreme Court doesn't want to do it, I don't want to do it.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think he was not going to grant a mistrial unless he really had to do it. But, Robert, I appreciate your points. Any thoughts here, Christina?
I'm just thinking to myself about the sentencing phase that's to come. And I, sitting in a courtroom, I really don't have much perspective, though, about how the judge comes up with sentencing. You know, I've sat in the courtroom and I've listened to attorneys argue both sides, and I've seen when somebody doesn't testify, I can say it's usually a guilty verdict. That's been my experience. But when it comes to sentencing, I don't even know. Is it a formula? Is it a thought? Is there flexibility? I don't know that in this case he can be flexible with this. He knows that this is going to be appealed. Derek Chauvin's probably going to spend the rest of his life appealing. I think that he knows that as best as he tried to manage this situation, it's not going to look good for him. So I'm thinking to myself here, if it's not going to look good for me on appeal, am I going to give a stricter, the strictest sentence, or am I going to give a lenient sentence? Lenient sentence might look like an apology for kind of messing up a little bit of things here. Maybe not, going with a change of venue or not sequestering the jury. Some of this stuff, I could have made different decisions, but to anybody else, how would I handle this? Is this a judge that typically tends to go with, the strictest sentencing or a more lenient sentencing? I just don't know what his trend is. So I think, if it were me, I probably would go with a more stricter sentencing on this, because it's going to get appealed anyways. Somebody's going to change it anyway. So it probably doesn't matter what my sentencing is going to be here. I don't know, though.
I'm saying it matters to the mob. Okay.
I understand.
And if he doesn't, what I'm saying is if he doesn't give the max of whatever he can do, that his life is not going to be pleasant.
Maybe he's going to spend the next 6 weeks moving out of his house, John. I don't know. I really don't.
Okay,
I don't know.
I mean, do you think that he is thinking about that at all?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They all know the mob
more
is
so
out there.
More so than the jury was.
Yeah.
I think he more so than the jury.
Yeah. So,
because he is watching the news.
Yeah. So,
he does. He sees Maxine Waters' comments. He sees Nancy Pelosi's comments and AOC's comments and Joe Biden's comments. He sees all of this. He is not supposed to not watch this stuff. He is supposed to be the impartial, but he can still watch it. He knows what's going on. I think he's more aware than that jury ever was of consequences.
Okay, still to come, we have Nancy Pelosi's comments, which are mysterious.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
As we talk about the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial and circumstances outside the courtroom that may be enough for what? An appeal, right? Of a guilty verdict.
I just think it's kind of naive to think that what was going on outside didn't have some influence on what was going inside. But I don't want to come off like that means they got the verdict wrong.
Correct.
I just think it's got to be on your mind.
I think that this is the point. I don't think this is the end of this, right? This guilty verdict is just now the beginning, I think, of years to come. You have a sentencing in 6 weeks. The appeal process starts today. The three other officers involved in this, their trials are still yet to come if they don't plead or whatever.
Right.
Because that might, who knows? And there's so much more down the road. AOC says justice was not served. I don't even know what that avenue leads.
Yeah.
But as far as Derek Chauvin goes, this is not the last we've heard of him.
No, not absolutely not.
And it has to do with all the stuff happening outside the courtroom, even though the jury may have gotten it right in this case.
Yeah?
4905858, sorry. Go ahead. Who are we going to go to, John?
Let's go to Cecil. You're on KMJ. Cecil, are you there?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
Didn't mean to wake you up there.
Thank you. Well, I didn't hear you say my name.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I guess I was just listening. Anyway, you have said so many things since I called in, but I just feel bad for the whole thing, of course. But I really think that he got justice. I really think that they couldn't have given any other verdict. I've sat and watched this on the television. I saw him do what he did, and I saw his eyes. Had anybody look at his eyes, it was full of hate. He has been probably, that man has done other things. I'm not sure what, but he's done other things, and he's been chasing him, trying to get him. He finally got him. He got his, what he was after.
You know, I don't know how to interpret all that, you know, about his eyes. I could see it in his eyes and all that. You know, he's got 18-year veteran. I don't know what was, what was he thinking?
He's not a likable figure.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, he's, you look at him and you just kind of don't like him. You know, you hear things about him, and you kind of don't like the things that you hear about him, but I don't know him, and he could have been the nicest person you ever met. I'm not saying that he was, but he could have been. I don't know him. I have to imagine that part of the reason he didn't testify on his behalf, because I think it was a very big mistake that he didn't, might have to do with that he's not a likable person.
Yeah, but even
but I don't know that. That's just speculation.
Not likable people can pretend to be likable. And like you said in the very beginning when we started, Christina, we needed to know why you did what you did, and you're the only one that could have told us, and you didn't.
And you didn't.
You needed to give the jury some reason to vote for you. And when you didn't testify, we have the video, and we had your explanation of the video, but we didn't get your explanation. So all we had was a video. So guilty, guilty, guilty.